Immediately after feeding the crowd with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And this is the gospel of the Lord. So shall we take a moment to pray as we stand? Dear Lord, as we think on your word this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit may be here among us, to open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you sit down, everyone? Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, etc. Do you recognize it? The sound of silence. We're thinking about the sound of silence, but the thing is, that song actually really misleads us as to what the sound of silence, at least as we're thinking about it this morning, is really about. In Simon and Garfunkel's song, the sound of silence is a scary thing. Silence is something that oppresses, that holds down voices, and means that people are no longer able to communicate to each other as they should. That is a danger. There is, of course, forces in this world that will oppress and stop people from speaking and stop people from hearing. And that is an incredibly negative thing. But today we are thinking about how silence, scary as it can be, and it can be very scary, silence is something that is really important for us and really important for our relationship with the Lord as well. Silence is something that many of us struggle with. When I was studying at Cudston College, Ripon College, Cudston, every so often there would be a day of silence. We would have quiet days. And the idea was that you don't talk at all to anybody. You have a full day of no talk. No talk when you're eating, no talk when you're walking around the place, absolute silence throughout. And for some people, that was a joy. And I'm afraid I'm one of them, because not talking to people is a source of life and strength for me. I love talking to people. I love you all. But also being by myself is great and I enjoy it. For some people, it was the worst. You could see people struggling, wanting to communicate, people cheating by communicating with their eyes over the dining room table. It's like, it's too much. I must communicate with you somehow. It must happen. It was a struggle because some of us really need to be externalizing a lot. We want to be putting thoughts out into the world. That's how we work. But more than that, in the world at the moment, I think we see it very clearly that we are surrounded by input. We are surrounded by things coming at us all of the time. And that is the case even if we're not hugely into the internet or social media or anything like that. Even if we're not, we are still being bombarded by stuff. And it can be seemingly innocuous stuff. It can be music. It can be sound. It can be news. It can be people talking. When you see people talking, walking down the road these days, often it's with earbuds in. Very, very frequently. Because there's stuff to be heard, and so you want to be hearing it. You see it even in places where it shouldn't be happening, where you think, oh, now this is a time to be quiet and listen to just one thing. That doesn't always happening. Going into the cinema and being really distracted by somebody two rows in front of me who's got their phone open the whole time. And you're like, can we watch the movie now, please? But no, there's something that has to be happening on the phone at the same time. Or people who talk through movies, that happens too. They can't stop the conversation, it's just continuing. Now, I'm not just here to moan about people. That's not really what this is. People do this because we are so used to having things coming at us. And when it doesn't happen, we miss it. It's a brain chemistry thing. We get dopamine hits. We get the happy chemical sparks in our brain when we get stuff coming at us. And in fact, if you took away all input, if you put somebody in sensory deprivation, where they couldn't hear and they couldn't see and they couldn't make sound, then they would go mad very fast. That's one of those wonderful proven things, and I'd rather not know how they proved it. But you start hallucinating. Your brain starts creating input for you because you need it. True, absolute dead silence messes us up. It can be really hard. Silence is hard, and it's especially hard for us at the moment because our brains are wired to want more, not silence. And so the thought of deliberately taking a moment and embracing silence, embracing a complete lack of input, can feel incredibly scary. I was talking to somebody recently and he said, the problem is that if I get bored or if I don't have enough new stuff coming to me, then I find that I'm alone with my thoughts. And I don't like that because they say bad things. When I'm alone with my thoughts, that's when all of the dark stuff, hello darkness, my old friend, where all of the dark stuff that you can tamp down, you can ignore when you've got loads of other stuff coming at you and the happy chemical is sparking in your brain, that's great. You can ignore it. You can tamp it down. You can push it into a corner. But when it's just you and the quiet and your thoughts, here they are. And they can be dark and they can be despairing. And we can find ourselves really troubled by that. So why then are we saying that silence can be good? Well, we see it in that reading from 1 Kings, Elijah on the mountain. Elijah in that situation is in deep fear for his life. His description to the Lord about what he's doing. What are you doing here, Elijah? He doesn't say the actual thing that he's doing, which is running. Elijah is running away. He has left behind all of this violence. I've been full of zeal for your temple, Lord, he says. And I've seen your prophets killed by the sword. And he's worried that the same thing is going to happen to him. I'm fearful for my life because they are coming to take it away. And so the unsaid part, and so I am running. I have run into the wilderness. I have run into this cave. I am hiding. And what does the Lord say? Well, the Lord says, I will come to you. And he comes in a way that is completely unexpected to us, I think. When we think about the presence of the Lord, we often think about Sinai. We think about lightning and thunder and fire and cloud and all of this amazing, huge stuff. Elijah doesn't seem to be surprised at all because all of this stuff happens outside. A mighty wind, an earthquake, a fire. All of this outside, you might have thought, well, the mighty, powerful Lord is surely in these things. Elijah isn't even tempted for a second by those things. He just waits because he knows he's a true prophet of the Lord. And he waits and suddenly there is nothing. There is a sound of sheer silence. And in that, Elijah knows that the Lord is there. And so he covers his face because that's what you do. You don't go before the Lord uncovered. It's for his own protection. Moses did the same. And he goes out and he meets the Lord in the sound of silence. And it is in that silence that he is then sent back. You've been running for your life, Elijah. Well, now the time is to turn around, to do a 180 and go right back where you've come from because you have work to do there. But the word of the Lord and the power of the Lord in that silence is enough that Elijah is lifted and sent out and sent back. It enables him to do that where he couldn't do it before. Now, how does this then mesh with our reading from the Gospel, from Matthew's Gospel, where we see Peter in the middle of a storm, suddenly seeing Jesus coming towards him? Absolute fear. It's a ghost. Who walks on water? It's Jesus. Jesus says, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter is so Peter in this reading. I love Peter so much. Peter is so Peter. He says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus, just one simple word, come. I think Jesus is ready for whatever Peter's going to do. And he does. He gets out of the boat. He walks toward him on the water. No matter all of the fuss and the tumult that is around him, he is focused on Jesus. He's been told to come. He's going to come. And then he realizes he's walking on water. And it is Wile E. Coyote. It is Acme over the edge of the cliff. He's walked out. And then somebody goes, hey, what are you stood on? Oh, no. And immediately the spell is broken and he begins to sink. It's so Peter. He's all ready to do it until he realizes just the scale of what he is doing. And suddenly it's too much. We can find ourselves doing that. We think that we're there. We're in the moment. And then suddenly it's all cut out from under us. What are we going to do? And here is Jesus. And here is Jesus in the calm and in the silence coming to Peter. He doesn't demand that Peter come to him because he knows he's not going to manage it. Peter begins to sink and cries, Lord, save me. And Jesus is there. He's there with him in that calm, in the middle of that space. And he grabs him. He catches him and he lifts him up. And I believe that that is what we need to learn and remember about silence. When we come into silence, when we spend time with our thoughts are there. But who else is there? Jesus is there. When we're alone with our thoughts, we are not alone because he is there too. And if we can enter into that time and if we can face the fear that is there in the thought of just having nothing but our own heads, we will discover that it's not just our own heads, that we can meet the Lord in that space, that we can find ourselves held in that space. But we need to be brave enough to go there. The other side, of course, in meeting the Lord in the silence, as Elijah found, is that it usually comes with an extra layer of stuff. You don't just get met, you get sent. You get met, you get lifted, you get empowered once again, and you get sent out. But you have to be brave enough to go there first. Taking time to find silence, to let all of those external stimuli drop, is good for us in many ways. It's good for us because it teaches us that we don't need stuff coming at us all the time. It increases our discipline and our endurance and our perseverance to be able to manage without those things. It encourages us to look and notice the small things. That line, the sheer silence, could also be translated a quiet whisper. Being able to hear something that would normally be beneath our notice. It's the discipline of quiet that will help us get there. It's good for all of these entirely secular reasons. But for us, as followers of Jesus, this is a space to meet the Lord, to allow ourselves to be held and met, if we're brave enough to go there. So this week, I encourage you, start learning it just the same as you would do a physiotherapy exercise. Physiotherapists, I see you getting so tired of people who don't do the exercises that you're told to do, which will absolutely make them stronger and better. This is physiotherapy for our soul. If we are able to take just a few minutes each day, a few minutes in silence, making that space, allowing ourselves to rest in that and be met in that, we will find ourselves stronger and closer to the Lord. Try it. Just a few minutes. Just start with five and then you can work from there. But let that be your beginning. And let's find the courage to meet the Lord in the silence. Amen.